Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This episode is brought to you by City Index. You shouldn't have to pay a premium for the most exciting market opportunities. Start trading the biggest companies for less with City Index's commission-free US share CFDs. Go long or short with $0 commission on Apple, Amazon, and our full range of US markets, both in and out of hours. Visit cityindex.com to try a risk-free demo account today. City Index, invested in your success. All trading involves risk.
From Barangaroo Studios, the AusBiz COV is the key stuff you need to know about the day in business and finance.
Well, hello, hello. You are listening to the COB podcast from AusBiz. I'm your host, David Scott, joined today on this August 11th by Carl Rotter. Carl, pretty big day for the session. Largest gain that we've seen in a while and also the highest close since early June, all on the back of an unchanged CPI print.
Yeah, no. What is it? Inflation solved, so let's all get involved. Something along those lines, I think. Interesting. It's really interesting how
there's a title for the podcast right there.
I've been abusing it all day, so go right ahead. But it's been an interesting one, especially how it's being spun by, well, obviously politicians, but also economists based on, obviously, their priors as to whether, you know, this is still high inflation, it's volatile and, you know, noisy data recently. It's don't get too excited versus other people are saying, oh, on an annualized basis, you know, we're going to be looking at 3% inflation if you sort of infer from that kind of month-on-month figure. So it's like anything really, isn't it? It's a bit of a Rorschach test. But, you know, clearly equities have responded well. Although, Scotty, you're a bond guy at heart, or in essence, I dare say, and the bond market didn't move much, really.
No, the initial reaction was it was abrupt, particularly at the front end of the curve, as you saw a lot of rate hikes priced out. But the reaction really struck me. It just looked like it was algorithmic traders, because you'd have to be under a rock or literally not gone outside to haven't been realized that, hey, look, a lot of goods prices, including gasoline, which was like the major factor behind the decline, have fallen quite sharply over the past month. And I was surprised watching the initial reaction. Then when I woke up this morning, I saw where twos finished and where tens finished. I was thinking, well, yeah, I'm not overly surprised that that was the reaction. But one of the things that was really interesting and the big divergence was the equity market not only held its gains, but went and continued to go and climb throughout the session. But I'm highly skeptical that it's going to go and really mean too much for the Fed. I think that all this is doing is loosening financial conditions, which is exactly what the Fed does not want at this point in the cycle. They've done so much hard work to try and get to this point. If they go and let it unravel now, we could be sitting with persistently high inflation. So the more the equity market in particular chooses not to listen, I reckon the harder the Fed is going to have to go.
No, that's a really interesting point, isn't it? And I suppose it comes back to, you know, what leads what in those situations as to, what equity markets are really discounting or not, and this kind of potential intractability of this problem for the Fed. But of course, the markets are pricing in that, the shift was really in the path to higher interest rates rather than necessarily the destination, I guess you could say, if you looked at Fed futures, right? You know, we had the markets pricing out a 75 from the Fed in September, but still a Fed funds rate that will finish, will probably top out somewhere around 3.75%. So that didn't really change. So again, there's a lot of mysterious things going on at the moment, but again, it's risk on. I think you can fairly safely say that.
Yeah, we're celebrating the fact that inflation's only 8.5% on an annualized basis, and that we're only talking about the next rate hike being a 50 rather than a 75. It's a brave and somewhat crazy new world that we find ourselves in. But for the time being, let's try and make the most of it when it comes to investment ideas. Yeah. One of those comes from Sam Ruiz. He went and joined us earlier on today from T. Rowe Price. He's not believing the rally we're seeing recently. In fact, he's saying it was time to go and prepare for the recession that we have to have came armed with three stocks that are likely to go and ride out the storm pretty nicely should things get a bit tricky. What do you reckon about the recession risk? Do you reckon we're going to go and have that scenario later this year or early next year?
I've been saying for ages that I think this cycle for the US economy is going to be a little bit boom and bust like, and that's because we had so much stimulus pumped into the economy that it was run too hot, everything was working over capacity, and there has to be payback. And this payback is in the form of obviously high inflation and then aggressive interest rate hikes, which by necessity, I believe in a thing called trade-offs. You can't have your cake and eat it too. And that means that to kill inflation, you have to kill growth. And unfortunately, I think that's what we'll see. And I mean, I'm not smart enough, let's be honest, to make any bold, strong and too terribly well-reasoned or quantified arguments as to what ought to happen. But if I go back to my reliable bond market, the yield curve, the US yield curve has gotten to as low as negative 47 basis points, which it is as low as it's been in 23 years. So if that doesn't scream recession, and everyone can talk about, you know, the distortionary effects that central banks can have on bond markets, but that says to me that we're heading for a recession. So you can almost lock it in, Eddie.
Yeah, I think one point last night, that twos, tens curve, the inversion went to 58 basis points negative. It's telling you a pretty big story, big tell. But no, it looks like that's good news so far, at least when it comes to prospect, as the stock market thinks at this point.
Yeah, it's looking through the recession.
Next year. Yeah, don't worry about the earnings, boys and girls. We're just going to go straight to the other side when liquidity injections come in and we go in and pump stocks again. Well, look, we'll see what happens. There are stranger things that have happened in the investment universe over the past few years. I think everyone can attest to that. You mentioned the bond market, mate, a couple of times. Vimal Gore, he had a background in the bond market, but he's moved to the digital asset space. And look, he went and made an appearance on the show today, and a welcome one. Glad to have him back on the show, talking about the RBA's design to go in an Aussie dollar, digital currencies. So it seems to be the way that a lot of people are getting some interest in that space using traditional fiat currency.
Yeah, CBDC. I didn't watch the interview, to be honest. I had to prepare for my own show, but I was saying to Asher, who is, of course, our producer and a producer for Cracking Crypto, is that if there's one thing that makes me feel, I guess, a level of confidence and that there's a level of legitimacy in the crypto space, it's Vimal Gore's move to away from what he was doing, which was, you know, a terribly blue chip, very high profile job, to, you know, set upon this journey in the crypto space. And you can give it a bit of a Google, but he did attract some attention, some of it, not very kind, some of it quite favorable, about, the potential for digital assets to, I believe, replace the function of bonds in our financial system. But don't quote me exactly on that, but it was something to that effect. So when he talks, I listen. So it's an interesting interview, one that I'll have to go back to, and I think all the audience should go back to too, because he's a smart cookie.
Carl, you'll be surprised to know that I wrote an opinion piece on that, and I disagree with what Vimal had to go and say. He's much smarter than I am, mind you, so take that into consideration.
That's what makes a market, right? That's the out for all arguments in financial markets. You just say, well, that's what makes a market. We all have our own opinions. But I'll be very interested to hear what you have to say about it.
Oh, mate, so you can go back in the annals of time. My opinion piece is floating around somewhere. But he said that bond market was boring. How can it be boring after what we've seen over the past couple of years? Boring. Anything but boring. I'll tell you another thing, mate, that's not boring. ETF space at the moment, a lot of volatility, a lot of people using the opportunity we're seeing, particularly in some of those thematic ETFs, to go and buy the dip in position for some of those big thematic moves expected in the coming decades. Today, we had a chat with Andrew Veland from DP Wealth Advisory. One area that a lot of people are clearly looking at the moment is the clean metal space, the clean energy sector. So he comes armed with three ETFs you can go and look at to go and play that thematic of, I know, the commodity sector becoming a clean and green investment vehicle.
Yeah, that's actually another one I'll have to go back and watch too. But you've got to love those clean and green thematics. Interesting conversation that I also had today was about greenwashing too. And artificial intelligence, I know this is a bit of a digression, but artificial intelligence that can pick up on greenwashing in investment markets. But anyway, it's fascinating because, you know, we obviously are all interested in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the more that we can actually go and make sure that people are adhering to these promises made on the green and the ESG credentials are fantastic. Just as a side note, the Institute of Machine Learning is right next to me here in Adelaide. So yeah, nice. Maybe they're working on some facets of that as well. You know, pretty interesting space. So I'll have a listen to that interview when I go home later on tonight. On the local front, everything was dominated by that inflation report in the States, but there was a large number of companies out as well. With profits and reporting today, Telstra was among them. And so we were lucky enough to go and have a chat today. Andrew was to go and talk with Andy Penn, the outgoing chief executive, about his views, the legacy as well as what he's left for that company in his 7-odd years at the helm. And so we thought it might be the perfect opportunity today to go and make it the stock of the day. So Andrew sat down today with David Lane from Ord Minnett and Mark Garner from Macro Capital to get their views as to whether Telstra is a buy, hold or sell. Take a listen.
Probably just be a hold at this stage. Those results are fairly good. There's still a lot of moving parts going on with this business as it sort of transforms. And obviously that partnership with the Future Fund, whether there'll be a share buyback, etc. The range has been fairly reliable. That's sort of 410, 415 on the top side, 380 to the lower side. If there was going to be a large share buyback announced, that you'd be happy to buy with momentum on a break or buy it on a pullback?
Look, we like it, and it was a good result. We've got a buy recommendation on Telstra. Our target price is $4.65. It is, as Mark said, a fairly boring portfolio stock where you get a good income on it. It's trading at a reasonable level. Over the last few years, the simplification of the business has been a positive, and have to say that Andy Penn has done an exceptional job. That, one of the only CEOs in my recent memory that's actually come out with a strategy and delivered on that strategy and stayed with the company while it's been delivered. So, I think he's done a very, very good job in that regard.
There you go.
There we have it. Boring, but boring is okay sometimes. And
sometimes beautiful.
A staple for the portfolio, it sounds like. So, a hold and a buy doesn't get put up for consideration for the investment committee. But, a lot of people from back in the day certainly have their Telstra holdings. Hopefully, not all of them are sitting there with unrealized losses, but I dare say probably a few have been hanging on for the ride. Carl, what's going to be the focus now? Because we're coming to the tail end of US reporting season. We get PPI data out tonight. But realistically, I think it comes down to the Fed now, don't you think? It's going to be what the Fed members go and say to go and try and convince markets that they believe that inflation still needs to be crushed.
Yeah, well, September still seems to be kind of live in the sense that we're trying to work out what they'll actually do. And we haven't really got a fantastic sense either whether they're going to guide us towards 50 or the 75. I do believe we get another jobs report before they meet next, right? So you'd think that they'd probably try and push back on that data quite a lot because we've got this fresh CPI print that will give them a little bit of breathing room, but they won't want to commit themselves too aggressively to any stance until they, after last week's print, for July, get a better sense of the state of the labor market. But I mean, tonight's PPI will be interesting. If we are seeing prices come down because of obviously some of it's softening demand, at least for goods, relatively speaking. How are some, whether producer prices are continuing to rise as well. We talk about the potential for squeezes on margins, and that'll have an impact on, growth and profitability and what have you. So interested on that, but, obviously you and me are the same. We look for those Fed speakers and all the divergent views that tend to emerge around that board table, so to speak. It's they don't really have a clear narrative yet, I don't think.
Yeah, look, we still get a PC deflator out as well. I also get another inflation report as well before the other Fed meets. It'll be right before they go and meet in September. So there's a lot of water to go under the bridge. So let's go and see what happens. It's almost a given, in my opinion, that we know that goods prices are not only going to be disinflationary, they're probably going to be outright deflationary. In the next couple of months, there's been some big declines. We saw that in the China PPI data as well, which tends to go and have a flow-on effect. But it all comes down to me is that the labor market is so strong, and that wages component, that's just going to go and fuel those services and inflation. And that's what's going to be sticky, and that's what's going to be very difficult to go and break the back of. And that's why that I think maybe markets are just underestimating things a little bit when it comes to the Fed's desire to go and bring inflation back to within target. I cannot see for the life of me that they'll be starting to talk about, you know, pivoting and cutting rates at an example where you've got you know, the PC deflator double its target. It just, that's fanciful.
So no way.
We'll keep
no
a close way. Eye on what's said at the moment. We know that Mary Daly's just come out from the San Francisco Fed. She spoke a couple of hours ago. She was talking about she's favouring a 50 at this stage, but of course, you know, the Fed's been favouring 50s and then gone to 75s pretty abruptly, as well as the data's progressed. We know they're reacting to that as well. Look, what do you reckon, mate? Let's go and leave it there and get ready for the last call on Friday. Get our drinking boots on and yeah, have some fun.
Sounds great, mate. Have a lovely night.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.